morning. Good morning. Good morning. It's my biggest fan right up here. Cheer me on, baby. I love it. So, hey, let me do this just before we get into our message today. I'm not a huge fan of a lot of announcements. I do want to give you a couple of updates, though, so if that's okay, because there's some things coming down the road that I want to make sure you're aware of. First of all, I want you to know this about last week. Last week, we had 87 people that we were able to follow up with that either gave their life to the Lord or rededicated their lives to the Lord. Is that incredible or what? And I want to say thank you. It's because of you guys. You guys investing in their lives, you guys being friends, being a Christian witness, bringing them with you. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Lives are being changed here on a regular basis. The second thing, real quick, the guy who was leading worship, that's Blake. Blake is part of us. He's part of our family. The guy that we had scheduled couldn't make it, so I kind of threw Blake in at last minute. And I know it's always, you know, you come and you go like, let me check this guy out. Let me see what his voice is like. So now that all that's done, when he comes back, you can just worship, right? Okay. So, because I know, I'm like that too. I'm like, God, who is this now? And he's one of us. He helps lead our youth ministry here, leads them in worship. So at the end of service, just, man, let's lock in and let's give God glory. He's done a great job, and I so appreciate his just willingness to step right up. Third thing is, it is, as they would say around here, fitting to get crazy around this place, all right? Looks like Wednesday, we'll have all of our documents signed and ready to begin our renovation. It's a little longer than we thought. We thought we would be like February 1, so, you know, mid-April, you know, that's okay. But God's got it in control. That's what I'm believing, right? It's like, it's in his time. So you might notice today the gym's already been closed. We've been cleaning it out in preparation. They're going to come in. We're going to gut it. And you're going to see lots of stuff going on around here all through the summer. Okay, so this means a couple of things. One, we're sharing our building today now. The kids are downstairs and we're up here. So I tell you that because you may hear crazy noises. You may hear bumps on the roof. I don't know all that they do down there. There may be a kid just run up the steps somewhere. I don't know. But they're downstairs, so be praying for them. They'll hear us, we'll hear them. That's the way it's going to be for the summer. But listen, here's why I'm telling you this, because it's real easy in the midst of all the changes to just have this growing frustration inside, right? Well, you mean I got to walk over there and I got to climb up the hill and I can't park here and now where's the door? And I just want to tell you, this is what we've been praying for the last 6 years, right? That God would fill this place up, that we would have to add seats, that we would continue to reach our community. So we will do the best we can. We'll have as many signs as we can to help point you in the right direction. We'll try to keep everything safe. It's why we roped off this side over here so people would have a place to walk to the lower parking lot, because with that hill, I know cars can be moving through there. If for some reason you just get that frustrated feeling because it's just like, I can't figure this out, or there's something that we're missing that you just really need, do not hesitate to let me know, okay? Because if you're like, you know what, every time I get there and I have to park down in the field and I just cannot walk up to the door, let us know. We will make sure that you have a space, that you have a place. We want to do this as family. We want to honor each other through this process as much as we can. I just want you to be aware of the frustrating feelings. They're going to be normal because I'm already feeling them. You know, I mean, it's like, this is crazy around here, but it's a good crazy. Because things are finally moving forward. All right, so that's going to be over the next couple of months. To go along with that, one last thing. Around here, we very, very rarely ask for help because we don't believe that's the way you do ministry, by saying, hey, we need help. Would you fill in? We really want to release people into areas they feel passionate about, because that's when ministry feels fulfilling, right? When you go, I love what I do. And all that said, there's an area we need help in. We need some help in our parking lot ministry. We have a few guys, a few ladies that are out there on a regular basis, but with being able to direct traffic around and direct walkers and helping people to know which door to go in and where to go, I would love it if some of you that maybe you're serving another ministry and you could give a little more, maybe some of you just haven't found a place, and you would say, well, it's not what I would love to do long term. I'm asking if you could do for 6 months, one service once a month. Okay, so six times over the course of the next few months, if you say, you know what, I could come a little bit early, I could stand out there, and really what we need is we just need people to make sure cars are going slowly, that they're able to find parking places, and that all of our people are safe. So it's not going to be really complicated. But if you say, you know what, I'd be willing to do that, I'll give it a shot. Just write down on your connection card. You can write parking lot, whatever. We'll talk about that at the end again if you want to write it on there now so that you don't forget. And Katie, our volunteer coordinator, will get back in touch with you, and she'll get you on a schedule that's convenient for you and that fits with what's needed around here. I just need a few people to step up and say, you know what, I can do this. I'd be glad to help out. It would make a huge difference around here, as week to week, we may not even know where the entrance is going to be exactly. So some help would come in really, really handy. All right, so commercial break over. Grab your outline there in your bulletin. We're going to jump right in. We're continuing what we started last week. And we called this series The Me I Want to Be. And let me tell you why we put that name on it. Because I think inside of us, all of us think, you know, I want to be a better person, whatever area of life, a better young person, a better older person, a better father, grandfather, mother, grandmother. I want to be a better spouse. I want to be a better adult. I want to be better at what I do. There's things I want to be. And I really believe this, that for you to be the me that you want to be, you're going to need to be the person God created you to be. That God's going to have to lead you to this place to understand how he created you, what he's put in your life, some things that maybe have been in your life that you know have been in there, and God just says, you know what, I want to come back and I want to resurrect some things, because that's what we started talking about last week, that God has the ability to breathe life back inside of you. The Bible says it like this in Romans chapter 8, again in Ephesians chapter 1, talks about the spirit that raised Christ from the dead brings power to us. God says it's the power that's available to us. Romans 8:11 says it's the same spirit that lives and dwells inside of us, bringing life to our mortal bodies. And so that's what we've been talking about, to be the people that we need to be, that God has called us to be. Maybe there's some things in our lives that God wants to resurrect, because there's a lot of things that we just go, you know, it's been a long time and life's been tough and I've been dealt a bad hand. I've made wrong decisions. I've done some things and I just feel like I'm stuck. And so we want to talk about that today and over the next couple weeks. So today I want to talk about this. I want to talk about resurrecting hope, allowing God to bring our dreams and our hopes and those things that have been us, allowing him to bring those things back to life. So grab your outline. This is what we started with last week. We started with this, John 11:25. This is Jesus talking to his friends and getting ready to bring Lazarus back from the dead. And they're having a hard time understanding all that he's going to do. And here's what he says. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life, right? Not only did he resurrect, but he embodied life. He is the resurrection, that power that raised him from the dead. The Bible says is a mighty power that God has available to work in our lives. It says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. Then Revelation 1:18, I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And we talked about this. We don't just celebrate that on Easter. Right? We celebrate that every day. That he's alive and he's alive forever, and he brings us life. And then he says this, and I have the keys of Hades and death. And we said last week, that's what we're going to be talking about over the next couple of weeks, is these things that God can bring into our lives, because he's the only one that holds the keys to unlock these areas in our lives that have been dying. These areas in our lives that maybe you would say, you know what, it's just not dying. It feels dead. I can't be the me that I want to be. I can't be the me that God created, because there's just some things inside of me that just feel dead. And so that's what we want to talk about. I want to talk about this idea of resurrecting hope. And to do that, talk a little bit in terms of like hope a lot of times has to do with our dreams. You know, our dreams for the future. And not talking about the dreams that you have at night. You know, you eat like a burrito late at night and you have all these crazy dreams. The common dreams, you know, you show up somewhere and you don't have your pants on, you know, and you're before everybody. And you wake up and go, thank God that was a dream, right? I mean, you ever had those dreams where you just wake up and you go, I am so glad, you know, that I was asleep. That wasn't real. But we're not talking about those kind of dreams. We're talking about like life aspirations. Like things. And for some of you, maybe remember back yesterday, a few years ago, maybe several years ago, to the things that you thought, that's how I want to be. That's how I want my life to be. That's the kind of parent I want to be. That's the kind of spouse I want to be. That's the kind of marriage I want to have. That's the kind of person that I want to be. And so we'll talk about those. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about just an illustration, because I think sometimes our dreams are so small compared to what God wants to do in our lives. And I thought about it like this. I remember one Christmas I so wanted it was a crazy gift, right? But I grew up mainly in the 80s, so I wanted a boombox. Anybody remember a boombox? Y'all remember those, right? If you're young, you know everything's small. I wanted like a boombox that was the size of a piece of furniture. You know, I wanted one of them big old things that you could carry around, you know, because I wasn't cool. So I was always looking for things that would make me cool, you know. So I'd hoped and I dreamed this is what I wanted. And I'd slipped it in my parents. I left stuff around, you know, about it. So I'm thinking, this is what I'm getting for Christmas. So I get up that morning and I go to where all the stuff was and there was no large box. And I'm thinking, how in the world are they going to get this to me? You know, so I'm going through all the everybody opening their presents thinking, how are they going to slip this in? Where is this? You know, and nothing's happening. So all of a sudden, my dad hands me this little box. You know, and he says, here's a gift we got for you. And I'm thinking, I don't know what this could be. I open it up, and inside that box was a key to the first car, the first real car that I ever had. It was a 1978 Datsun 280Z, and it was bad, let me tell you. They had even put a license plate on there that said, One Cool Z, right? Because my parents knew I so wanted to be cool. And here's, after I opened that, went outside and looked at it, boombox? What boombox? I wasn't even thinking about a boombox anymore. You know what I mean? I mean, it was just like, this is so much better than any dream I ever had, any hope. And I tell you that because I think sometimes in our lives, we're dreaming of boomboxes and we're fighting for boomboxes and we're holding on for those kind of things. And God's over here going, man, if you would just let that go. Just stop pushing so hard. Right? Not there's anything wrong with wanting and dreaming and hoping. But when you start to try to fix it yourself and fight for it yourself, and God says, man, if you would just listen, I might have something so much better over here for you. I want to talk about this in this context, that Ephesians 3:20, it's not on your outline, but you can write down and look it up. The Bible says God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. You ever think about that? Do you think God's dreams for your life are even greater than your dreams for your life? I mean, isn't that cool? The things that God has planned and in store and he wants you to go after, so much greater than what you think you're going after right now that is it. You know, even if you feel like, well, God's put this in my heart, God just says, hey, you know what? You'll stay with me and I'll lead you to the life that you have been dreaming of. It may look nothing like the life you think it's going to look like, but you will be fulfilled. Because you'll be the person he created you to be. Here's the challenge in all this. We talked about this last week. Again, in John 10:10, the Bible says there's an enemy. There's a thief. The thief, the enemy of our soul, Satan. The Bible says his whole job, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? That's what it says. And so a lot of us, when we think about our dreams or we think about hope, that scripture really comes to life, doesn't it? Because it feels like, man, something's been stolen. I used to hope for and I used to dream for and I used to desire, and somewhere along the way it just feels like it was just ripped away. Or maybe you would say it feels like there's this death going on. I can never be and I never will, and it won't work, and I can't, and this is the kind of part, look at the decisions I made and here's where I am. And sometimes we feel like it's just our life is just being destroyed, headed for destruction. And the Bible says that's the whole job of the enemy, that he comes to bring death, where God meant there to be life. Because the rest of that scripture, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest, not just afterlife, not being with him forever in heaven, but so that on earth we can experience his life, his power working in us. And so there's this war going on, and so oftentimes we give in to the enemy who's so desperate to bring death into our lives, into our experiences. So what I want to do today is I want to hopefully encourage you a little bit to say, even though he's doing that, there is a way, and it's not always easy, but there is a way that we can allow God to breathe life back into us, even into some of those areas that seem like they've been stolen or they seem dead. I mean, because you may be like, it ain't dead, just dead. Like, I put it in the coffin, buried it, and it's been in the ground for years. Or areas that just feel like, man, it just feels like my life is headed towards destruction. Things are being destroyed, and I don't know what to do. I think the greatest thing the enemy could do is have us give up hope, to where we just walk around going, you know what? I just can't, and it won't, and God doesn't. We just lose hope. And to do that, I want to walk through an account in the Bible. This will be familiar to some of you, but I want to point out some things. And this is in the life of Abraham and Sarah, figures in the Old Testament back in Genesis. And actually the account we're going to look at covers chapter 15 to 22. So we're not going to read it all. We're just going to read some excerpts. But I would encourage you, if you want a good Bible study this week, just on your own, man, read through this whole account, because I think God will speak to you about how he works in the lives of his people. He may not work and hardly ever works in anybody's life the same way as he did somebody else, but a lot of times we can begin to get an understanding of what God is like and the fact that God is always there and he's always at work. So we're going to work through that. On your outline, we're just going to pick up right there in Genesis 15, 1. This is right at the beginning. It says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. It says, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. Now, a lot of stuff has happened. Abraham had just gone through a victory. He had inherited a lot of stuff. He'd earned a lot of stuff. He had things, and he was kind of depressed because all of this stuff, the blessings of God, the things that were going on, was like, he had no one to leave any of this to. And that is a huge deal, especially back then. There was no heir for any of this. So he's not feeling good. So God comes and encourages him. And this is what Abraham says. But Abraham said, sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my state is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. So let me put this in context a little bit. Abraham wanted a boombox, right? I mean, just one. God, come on. Just God, could you do something? And then look at what happens. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. And then look at how God expands this, because this is God's dream for Abraham. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said, so shall your offspring be. Now remember, this time Abraham has no children. So this is all just a promise from God. And then he goes on. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. Let me tell you just right there, because as we go on, I don't want you to feel like you give up because you ever think you went too far or you can or you won't. God established the promise, right? God said, this is my covenant with you. When God makes a promise, God always honors his promise. Okay, when God makes a covenant with us, God always upholds his end of the covenant. Even when we don't. Doesn't the Bible say, even when we are faithless, God remains faithful, right? And so we see here, even in the life of Abraham, God making this covenant with Abraham, and sure, he wants Abraham, his desire is for Abraham to live a life that brings honor and glory to him. But God says, I am establishing this covenant. So wherever you are, I just want you to hear, if God has promised the things he's promised you in his word, the things that God is leading you to that are God-honoring, God will always finish what he started. God will always honor his promise in your life, all right? So take comfort in that, because sometimes when, as we're going to see in a minute, when we get into this place where hope is dying, we make some really bad decisions. And when we make bad decisions, a lot of time what happens is guilt and shame, and then we feel like we can't and we'll never and God won't because I didn't. And we're going to see that even in the life of Abraham, even though that he has to live out some of his bad decisions, that God always fulfills his end of the bargain. All right, so Abraham's dream was to father a son. God's dream was for Abraham to be the father of nations. And so in this account of God working in Abraham, I want to look at a couple of things. The first thing I want to look at is what causes this hope in us to die? Because a lot of times we're just like Abraham. God has spoken. We've read it in his word. We know what it says. Maybe we've heard it growing up and we say, that's it. And then something happens and we don't see it all happening. And this hope inside of us, we just start to give up and the dream starts to die. And we just start to feel like we can't or we won't. And so I want to look at a couple of things that causes our hope to die. But before we get that first fill in, read that scripture right there under it, Genesis 16, 1. It says this, now Sarai, Abraham's wife, okay, now you got to remember, this is his wife. So I'm sure they talked. I'm sure they're close. You know, I don't know what relationships were like back then, but I'm guessing they talked every now and then. She, my opinion was, she probably knew about the promise. Don't you think when God spoke to Abraham, Abraham probably went to her and said, honey, guess what? This is what God has said. God's going to do this, and we're gonna have a baby. So Sarah knows about what God has said, so she knows the promise too. So look what happens. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. That's the way it starts out. That's what she's going on in her life. It says, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. And it's not there on your outline, but it goes on to say that she then sends Abram to her Egyptian slave. And then she says this in verse 2, if you ever want to read it. She says, the Lord has kept me from having children. So now, you get this? God has made a promise, and now this has come full circle, and we're blaming it back on God, right? Because it didn't turn out like we thought. Here's the fill-in. Here's the first fill-in. Unfulfilled expectations. What causes hope to die? Unfulfilled expectations. But I thought it would. But this is what it said. But even, I mean, somebody spoke this. You ever had that? Somebody spoke this over my life. We'll do a whole sermon on that at some point, because you got to be careful there. But you're like, I mean, it lines up with the word. It's in the Bible. And here's what's going on. And this is what's going on. This is the kind of person I want to be, the kind of marriage I want to have, the kind of parent I wanted to be, the kind of life that I'm wanting to live. And somewhere along the line, it just doesn't quite happen. And expectations, the bar was up here, and somewhere just started sliding down. And as those expectations are unfulfilled, you've noticed it's kind of this dying going on inside of you. Well, maybe it won't. And maybe God won't come through, right? And that's what's going on here, because she's like, you know, maybe this is God not fulfilling his end of the bargain. And now here's a caution. I give you this danger that's associated with this. When unfulfilled expectations in your life, here's what happens. Oftentimes it causes us to take matters into our own hands. You ever done that? You know? Any time that you took matters into your own hands, did it work out really well? You know, was it like, look, I fixed it, God, you know? And now everything's so much better. No, we know. Almost any time we take matters into our own hands, it's like we pay for it for a long time. But how natural is that? That's what's going on in here. Later on in that same passage, Sarah says this, go and sleep with my maidservant. And here's the word she used. And perhaps I can build a family through her. What's happening? She's taking away God's promise. God, I know you said this, and I know that that's what it is, but maybe, God, you've kept me out of. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to fix this. So I have an idea, Abram. We can start a family. Let's do it this way, and maybe I can bring about God's best in my life. And I got to tell you, we've noticed over and over in our lives, it never turns out well. Even for these guys. Okay, and I don't have time to get into it much today, but Hagar has a son, right? Ishmael. And if you read through the whole story, it's almost like Ishmael's a counterfeit promise. The son of the promise that God has said, and then the son of his own human decision, the son of the flesh. You know, I want to be careful, but we can almost make an analogy that what was birthed out of sin because it was dishonoring God. Not to say anything about Ishmael in that context, but in Abraham's life. And then we read how this son and Hagar, they were constantly struggling with Abraham and God's promise. Why? Because he took matters into his own hands. Because he decided, I'm going to fix this because God didn't meet my expectations. Now listen again, let me go back to what I said a minute ago. Even though Abraham messed up big time, it didn't stop God from fulfilling his promise, did it? Right? I mean, time goes by, as we're going to see in just a moment. It's been like 13 years, so this little boy is growing. Abraham's way of fixing it because God didn't meet his expectations. So he's going to make the decision. He's going to make the choice. I'm going to go ahead and end this and start this and fix this and go here and divorce her and leave this and move there. And now they got to live with this. But God never gave up on his end of the bargain, because God, when he makes a promise, he's going to keep his promise. We may have to live with some of the decisions we've made. But God says, don't let unfulfilled expectations drive you to take matter into your own hands. So we keep reading. We get down to like chapter 17. It's 13 years later. God is still reminding Abraham and Sarah. As a matter of fact, he changes their names. He calls Abram, Abraham, and Sarai, Sarah. You know, going from you're just going to be a parent to you're going to be the father of many nations. So God is still working in their lives, reminding them of the promise and of the dream. You ever had something in your life that was just kind of dying and maybe it was dead? And you may come to a context like this, like church, and somewhere in there, something is sparked inside of you and you just go, maybe, I don't know. God, could you? Because God is speaking to your life just like he continued to work in Abraham and Sarah. And by the time you get out to your car, you're laughing because you're like, God ain't going to. You know, there is no way. God can't fix and he won't. And it didn't. And this is exactly what was going on in Abraham's life. Here's what's happening. This is growing doubt. That's the fill-in. The thing that kills our hope. This growing sense of doubt that's inside of us. And it seems to climb over top of our hope. Where maybe at first you would leave going, maybe God can, and it would carry you to like Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and then you would start like, I don't know. You know, now maybe you're at the point where you just doubt it all. And so you might sit here on Sunday and just for one second you go, nah. You know? And all you can do is just, that's what happened to Abraham. Look at this, Genesis 17, 17. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Right? Just, God, this is ridiculous. God, you have been saying this to my life for 13 years. And now, too late, God, we're old. I doubt that it can happen. Here's what's going on. You know what the Bible says about our enemy? We said that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says he is a liar and the father of lies. So you know what happens during these seasons when our expectations aren't being met and the doubt begins? He begins to come in, and what does he do? He begins to lie to you. See, I told you, you can't be that. You've messed up too bad. God's not going to fulfill what he said. You can never, you can't be, you won't, it'll never work. Nope, your marriage, it'll always be bad. You know, none of that can happen in your life. He comes in and what he's doing is feeding us his lies. And here's the danger. When we allow that doubt to just continue to grow, we begin to believe his lies as our new reality. We begin to go, maybe he's right. Maybe I'll never, and maybe it won't, and maybe I can't, And maybe life just can never be what it wants, what I hope that it could be. We live in doubt. You know what doubt is the opposite of? Doubt is the opposite of faith, isn't it? And so what's going on is our faith is drifting, and the doubt is rising. We begin to buy into the lie. Our dreams, our hope starts to die. Here's the last one I put in there. It kills our hope. Irreversible circumstances. You know what kills your hope? And this one, you probably go, you know what? Yeah, this one probably should kill our hope if we didn't believe in Jesus, right? When we look around and we go, now it's over. You know, now it's done. I mean, think about this. This is what's going on in Abraham's life. Genesis 18, 11. Look what it says. Abraham and Sarah were already very old. And Sarah was past the age of childbearing. They were old. It was not possible, right, in their minds. So they're looking around at their circumstances going, this doesn't add up. God, I thought you said and you promised and we tried to fix it on our own. That didn't work. You know, and what's happening? We start to get our eyes focused on our circumstances instead of who God is. And that's like the last nail in the coffin for our hope, isn't it? And we just go, you know what? Maybe this doesn't work for me. Maybe somewhere along the line I missed it. Maybe I went too far. Maybe I did too much. Maybe the whole God thing just really, maybe he's out there somewhere, but maybe it's not for me. And here's what happens. When we get to this point, we start making rash, dumb decisions. Well, you know what? I'm just going to stop this and end that. And not because the circumstances are too far gone. And maybe you're there right now in some area of your life and it looks hopeless. Nothing's adding up. Abraham had every reason to give up based upon his circumstances. And maybe that's where you are, your expectations. It's just not happening and you're taking things into your own hands and that's not working out very well either. But this doubt just continues to grow and you've reached a place where you just go, I don't know if God can. Let me give you a couple things out of this account that my prayer is that it'll help you a little bit. Because here's the key. Last week, the key was we got to believe again. right? We got to start and just say, God, I don't know if I can. I don't even know where it is, but Lord, would you just help me believe? This week, what we're asking God for is, God, can you just help me hope again? God, can you just bring something back to life? And can I free you? Because this is one of my prayers has been for you. I'm not even talking about hoping for next year, 10 years from now, the rest you have. I'm talking about to the end of today. To where you go, God, could you just not let me get back out to my car and just laugh all of this off? It's like, no, I can't. Could you breathe life into me today? That maybe just today I don't make a decision and I don't make that choice. And maybe just today I dream and I hope again a little bit. And then tomorrow you wake up in the morning and you go, God, just for today, Lord, could you get me through this day where you begin to breathe hope in me, God? And if I can make it from when I wake up to the time I go to bed, just holding on, God, would you help me hope again? I believe when we start praying those kind of prayers, that spirit the Bible says that lives and dwells inside of us begins to breathe life, that God begins to unlock those keys to the dead thing, unlock those locks to the dead things in our lives. And maybe, just maybe, this hope starts to kind of come back. And we go, all right, it may be a long way off. And it may seem like the circumstances are never going to allow me. But I can't explain. I just have hope. I believe God can. And so what I put down here is a couple even ifs, okay? So these are the things that we got to struggle through, that we learn from this account, that we need to hope again, even if, here's the first one, even if it takes a long time. And you might want to write out there beside this, trust his process. So I don't know what God is doing. But here's what I've learned and here's what I believe. He's up to something. And he's constantly working. And he's constantly working in me. And I may not get it. I may not understand it. And it may take a lot longer than I ever think it should. But if I can keep that alive in me, even when it takes a long time. Genesis 21:5, it says this: Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. He was 100. And as you go back in the story and you read the story, you'll see it took over 25 years from the time God spoke to the time Abraham saw the promise. Again, why? I don't know. I wish I could tell you. The only things I can look at is maybe there was a lot of things God needed to do in Abraham. Because you know when God promised, what was the first thing Abraham tried to do? He tried to fix it himself, right? And God said, hang on a second, buddy. You know, that's not really the way this works. And so maybe sometimes those things in our lives, maybe we've gotten so concentrated on trying to fix them and locking in there and saying, God, but I got to make this work. And God's more concerned about forming us. And our first thought is, but doesn't God want me to be happy? And you guys know how I feel about that, right? I think God's more concerned about you being holy than about what we consider happiness. But I think he wants you to be fulfilled. But here's the deal. Only he knows how you can be fulfilled. You think you've got it. You think you know, but God, this will fulfill me. And God says, hold on. I created you. I love you. I know where you need to go to be the person you want to be. So even if it takes a long time, believing that God is molding us and he's shaping us. And maybe we're in the fire, because maybe only in the fire the impurities can come out and God can shape, because we become malleable in there and we reach that point where we just go, okay, God, whatever you say, I'm going to trust you. So hope, even if it takes a long time. Proverbs 16:9 says this: in their hearts, humans plan their course, right? We're really good at that, trying to figure it all out. It says, but the Lord establishes their steps. Man, God, establish our steps. Here's the second thing. Hope again, even if it sounds ridiculous. Even if it sounds crazy. Because sometimes God will say stuff to you and you'll go, God, are you sure? Really? God, I don't know about that. God, hold on. Stay here. Keep trying. But God, everybody else is set. Look at what happened to Abraham. Genesis 22:2. It's later on in the story, the life of Abraham and Isaac. God says, then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, whom I gave you, fulfillment of our covenant. It was all the promise. 25 years you waited. Here we go. Whom you love. and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you. When you go like, oh, God, no. Honestly, I mean, don't you feel that way? When you go, but God, you promised. And you said, and finally, I'm seeing some light. Finally, this thing looks like it's turning around. Finally, God, it's like you're coming through, and now you're telling me to give it back? Here's what I put down in my notes. For Abraham to pick up God's dream for his life, he had to be willing to lay down his own dream. You see, some of you, and you believe, and maybe God did, just to give you hope for something. You've been hoping and praying for that boombox. And you've been holding on to that so tight, you're missing out on what God wants to bless you because you're like, God, but you got to do it like this, and it's got to look like this, and it's got to be like this, and it's got to be wrapped like this, and this is the exact one I want, right? I mean, you've gotten all down and specific because somebody told you that's the way it works. Well, maybe that's the way it works, except when God wants to do something else in your life. You've gotten so locked in. Maybe for you it's to say, okay, God, here's everything. Here's my hope. Here's my dream. Here's the bad stuff. Like, we're good at giving God the bad stuff, right? What if you say, God, here's even the good stuff. Here's the stuff that feels like it's working. Here's all the stuff that I got. I give it to you. That's when things begin to change in our life. And can I say this to you guys too? Listen, if you just go, you know what? I don't know how to process through that. This is why you're in a church family. Church family is not meant to come, sit, face me, hear me talk, get up, leave, and never get to know one another. You know why you're in a family? It's because in this room there's some incredibly wise counsel. And so you're going, I think God said this, and I'm not sure, I don't know what to do with that. Here's what you do. You find someone who is spiritually mature, and you have a conversation. And you say, would you pray with me? Now listen, here's the deal. You can't find someone that's just going to agree with you and you don't know how they are spiritually, right? Because we're good at that, right? Well, I think I should do this. What do you think? Whatever you say. You're like, you're a good friend. You know, no, they're not. Maybe you need to find someone. And you go, well, who? I don't know who. Write me on your connection card. I can connect you to some people that I trust. Yeah, because this is life, okay? Again, we talk about this a lot. If this is all that you're getting, you come, you sit, you face me, you listen, you go home, I'm telling you, it's going to be a constant struggle. This is meant to be done together. That's why we're a family. It's why God brings together people in what we call a church. Look at Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Man, I am so glad God is much bigger than my tiny little brain. And I got to tell you, you should be glad God's bigger than my tiny little brain too. You know? Who knows what's going on? What God is doing. His ways are so far beyond. Here's the last one. Even when hope is dying, do this. Hope again, even if you don't think you can. Even if you're just going, I don't know. Because you might be sitting there thinking, here's the deal, Michael. You don't know my situation. It's been a long time, right? I mean, it may not have been 25 years, but it's been at least 6 months, 8 months, 2 years. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've said. You don't know what they said. You don't know how I feel. You don't know what I've been through. I'm burned out. I am washed up. I am done. It is hopeless. It'll never work. I can't. Can I tell you this? You're right. You can't. I thought you said to hope again. Here's the deal. You can't bring hope back alive in your life because you've already tried. The only one who can breathe hope back into your life is God. And where you can't, God can. Look at this last verse, Genesis 22. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time. And he says, I swear by myself, declares the Lord. Now, Abraham's gotten life a little bit better, right? He's not trying to solve all these things on his own. He even brings his dream, the hope, his promise, his son to God because God said. Now, God does an incredible deliverance. You can read through that. But he decides, you know what? God, I'm all in. I'm trusting you even with my dream, the life of my son, my whole entire future. He brings all that to God. And he says this, because I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have Circle those three words. Because you have. Because you have done this, not withheld your son, your only son, your dream, your hope, your own efforts at fixing it. Because you have done this, I will. Circle those two words. Because you have obeyed me, trusted me, honored me, given me everything, followed after me, finally given in and done it the way that I have told you to do it. Because you have, I will. Because you have, I will. And then it goes on to say what God will do, all the blessings that God wants to do in his life. But here's the key. Because you have, God will. There's a direct correlation right there between your action and your faith and the hope that comes alive in you. When you don't, because you haven't, because you've been fixing it on your own, because you won't trust, because you won't follow, because it's been a long time and you're hurt and you got doubt growing, all that. God says it's hard to work in those situations because not that God can't work, because we hold him off. I got this, God. You hadn't come through when I needed you to come through anyway. I got this. But God tells Abraham, because you have, I will. So listen, even if you don't think you can, it feels like the enemy has stolen and robbed and is killing and is destroying things in your life. God says, because you have, if you will trust him and obey him and honor him and follow him and those things he's put in your heart, that you know that is the right way. That is the God-honoring way. He says, when you do those things, because you have, God says, I will. And he'll begin to breathe life back into you. And maybe just for one day, don't even think about tomorrow. Maybe just for one day, you could go to bed tonight going, there's hope. There's hope. God can. Will you bow your heads with me?